Greece, looking for money wherever it can.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The center of attention in the European debt crisis today is in Athens. The Greeks are trying to avoid a messy default by cutting the amount they owe private bondholders. A deal was put on the table last night, but quickly rejected by European finance ministers. Meanwhile, the Greek government is taking other steps to boost revenues, and journalist John Syropoulos is with us now from Athens with the details. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I guess when you're a country that is in as deep financial troubles as Greece is, you have to pull out all the stops. And it sounds like the first order of business is to release a list of tax evaders.
That's right. The government has finally, after months of saying that it will do so, released a list of 4,000 people, some of whom owe in the hundreds of millions of euros, largely in an exercise of shaming and of showing our European Union creditors that we are doing everything possible to recoup taxes owed.
And shaming and embarrassing people is not the only tactic that Greece is taking to try to make ends meet. What else is going on?
Well, the government is trying to boost its revenues from tourism, which is already responsible for an estimated 20% of GDP. One of the ways it's doing that is inviting film crews to come and shoot scenes in national monuments and archaeological sites. Another way is the attempt to sell off public property, millions, in fact, of acres of land, which could be sold for redevelopment. But really, what a lot of economists are saying is that the key is not to sell off the family silver. The key is to re-stimulate growth in the economy, and it has to be reversed if Greece is going to stand a chance of eliminating its deficit and eventually paying down its debt.
Journalist John Syropoulos joining us from Athens. John, thanks a lot.
Thank you for having me.
Well, here in this country tonight, President Obama will deliver his annual State of the Union address to Congress. And among the ideas he's expected to announce is a plan to make college more affordable. Currently, less than 40% of American adults have a college degree. But as the price keeps going up, more people are questioning the value of a degree. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
Last year, two sociologists published a book that got a lot of attention on campus. Academically Adrift followed a group of college students to find out what they learned. After 4 years of college, more than a third of them showed no significant improvement on a test of critical thinking and reasoning. It's the sort of thing employers have been complaining about for years.
Overwhelmingly, employers are telling us we need to do better.
Carol Geary Schneider is president of the Association of American Colleges and Universities.
Employers are telling us we're not doing a good enough job on critical thinking, communication skills, problem-solving skills, that we need to get students out there in the real world actually applying their knowledge to real problems.
Schneider is part of a new effort to measure and improve what college students learn. Today, a group called the New Leadership Alliance for Student Learning and Accountability is putting out a set of guidelines for schools. They recommend colleges set goals for what students should know when they graduate and then measure and report the results. David Paris is executive director of the alliance.
We can produce more degrees, but those degrees won't be meaningful. They won't serve the students and they won't serve our society unless they really represent a high level of achievement.
He says schools could use a number of measures, standardized tests like the Collegiate Learning Assessment, retention and graduation rates, as well as portfolios of student work. Jack Rossman is professor emeritus of psychology at McAllister College in St. Paul, Minnesota. He says in the past, faculty have resisted efforts to standardize student learning. He says the key is to get them on board early.
Those colleges and universities that have had good success in developing reasonable measures of student learning have had faculty engaged in the process.
Professors may have little choice. The alliance behind the new guidelines says groups representing more than 3,000 colleges and universities have signed on. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Europe right now, down more than 1% in Frankfurt and in Paris. In Asia, stocks are higher. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow slipped 11 points to close at 12,708.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the Internet and stopping unwanted email. Reputation.com.
A study out this morning from the National Trust for Historic Preservation finds retrofitting an old building almost always saves more energy than framing up a new one, even if the new building is eco-friendly. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
Say you want to build a downtown apartment complex with a cafe and shops. You add solar panels, recycled floors, insulated windows. But if you tear down an existing building to do it, it'll take decades to get any green benefit, says Patrice Fry at the National Trust.
Up to 80 years for a new efficient building to compensate for the environmental impacts that occurred during the construction process.
Fry says city planners should think about all the energy wasted before they let developers tear down buildings. But the real estate market is moving that way on its own, says Rob Melnick at Arizona State. He says developers are nervous to gamble on new construction, but they like the idea of sprucing up property with an energy-efficient retrofit.
You know, to protect what you have and really to provide the building efficiencies at a lower short-term cost.
Because developers do know people want green buildings. Buyers will pay more for them, and renters will stay in them longer. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, to a dairy farm in Pittfield, Ohio, where the cows have been living the good life for the past 10 months. That's because the owners installed water beds for the cows to relax in. The farmers tell CNBC the cows' milk has improved and the cows are healthier, but they would like some more sparkling water with lemon, please. When you get a chance. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Tahrir Square in Cairo and Wall Street are about a half a world apart. In the past year, though, they've become a lot closer.
I think that sparked the imagination of younger people in the United States. We could do something besides conventional politics.
I'm Kai Rizdal, drawing a line from Arab Spring to Occupy Wall Street. That's next time on Marketplace. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.